All right. Yeah, it is good to be back. I was gone for about 3.5 weeks there. It was interesting at times. We've had 2 devotionals since I was here, I believe, correct? And my topic is on knowledge and self-control. So I thought I should bring along my toolbox to keep the sort of the metaphor going here. And we're going to have specific tools that are kind of related to the whole knowledge and self-control thing. Let me see here. Did the computer fall asleep? Could you talk to my computer? Okay. So yeah, I did have a few adventures there in Congo, crossing the Congo River. It's the second biggest river in the world. And it's like 5 miles wide and 60 feet deep. And the current is so strong, the boat to cross the river, he kind of stays in this little bay and he kind of goes up the river for like, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And then he heads out and he's kind of going up the river, but he's not, you know, he's not even making progress. So it's pretty intense. And these people are out in the middle of the river in this not very seaworthy looking log that they... I don't know if I'd really want to do that personally. I visited about 5 or 6 different churches in Brazzaville and Kinshasa. Let me see here. There we go. There's the church in Kinshasa. How many people know where Kinshasa is? Well, it's right on the Congo River. That would help you. In fact, the 2 closest capitals in the world are Brazzaville and Kinshasa. They're right next to each other on the other side of the river. And I was in both of the cities there. I might be able to share a little bit more of that some other time, but I want to get into my lesson. So I just thought I'd show you a couple of pictures. Okay, great. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 1. We're doing an 8-week series on these qualities that hopefully we'll possess in increasing measure. So let me read 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, for what reason, by the way? Well, what's the scripture say? For this very reason. For what reason? Because we've escaped the corruption of the world, all right? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, then they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you would like to be productive and effective in your Christianity? Amen. All right. How many of you would like to have a life that you just barely get by, you accomplish practically nothing, but you get to heaven anyway? All right, good. I'm glad to hear that. So 2 of the qualities we want to have in our life in order to make that happen... You raise your hand for the first one, but it might require you actually doing something, some effort there. Hopefully you're really in on this, is knowledge and self-control. So I want to talk a little bit about knowledge. And I was thinking, to me, knowledge is not really so much like the toolbox. All right. To me, knowledge is like this thing here. How many of you have one of these things? Yeah, you know what this is? You got the nuts and the bolts. And it's like you got to have one of these things in order to make everything work. You know what I'm saying? So knowledge is something that kind of, it's like that toolbox. It's that information you need when stuff comes up. And I think of 3 different kinds of knowledge. One is knowledge of God. To me, that means, you know, just knowing Him. Having a relationship with Him, being aware, knowing His will, and the Bible talks about that. There's many scriptures in Philippians and Romans about knowing God's will and being intimately aware of what He thinks, how He thinks about you, how you should think about Him. So knowing God. Another area of knowledge to me is knowing the scriptures. So I want to grow, I don't know about you, but I want to grow in my knowledge of God. I also want to grow in my knowledge of scripture. And there's a 3rd area we don't normally talk about, which is just knowledge. all right? Which means just knowing stuff. As a Christian, I just want to know stuff. Because the more stuff I know, the more effective I can be in my service to God. All right? And I think that's part of it. In fact, I've got a passage here. It's Proverbs 10:14. Let's go there. Actually, maybe it's... Nope. Oh, there. You don't need to go there. It's just right up there on the screen. We're probably spending more time in Proverbs in this set of lessons than some other areas, just because the nature of the things we're doing. So it says, wise men store up knowledge. And the older people around here have been storing up knowledge. I don't know why I'm looking at you, Joe, but the older men amongst us, we've been storing up knowledge. I mean, it's Jack. I mean, Jack doesn't even mind having pointed out that he's old because it's so obvious that he is. But he's got a lot of knowledge. If he ever gets a chance, just sit down and let him share some stories about the stuff that he learned being a cop for how many years? A lot of years. Yeah. All right? And I don't know you, but I know that I found that the knowledge that I have makes me more useful to God, and I want to be useful to God. You know, I was in Congo and all these other places, and I get up there, and we do a question and answer session. And in a question and answer session, it could be any question on any topic related to Christianity and the Bible. And then I got to be prepared to answer all those questions. All right, and so in order to do that, you know, you kind of have to grow in your knowledge. It's important. It's important. So I've got a two-point outline. You don't want to hear this outline because it involves hard work. But if you want to grow in your knowledge, the way I see it is it's going to take an absolute commitment to it, number one, and number two, hard work. All right, hard work and absolute commitment to knowing, to having knowledge. All right, so I've got an outline here. Point number one is we need to love God with all our mind. You know, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I don't know if you ever thought about that. I had a friend once in Boulder. She spent a four-week period. So the first week, she's just focused the entire week on loving God with all of her heart. And then the second week, she focused on loving God with all of her soul. That was the hardest one. How do you love God with all your soul? That was the hardest of the four. But the third one involved loving God with all of her mind. How do we love God with all of our mind? Well, how do you... What's your mind good for? What do you use your mind for? For thinking. So to me, what it means thinking about God. I mean, literally... thinking about God. Not just reading the scriptures, but thinking about the scriptures. A lot of us, we have quiet times, and yet I wonder if we're really thinking. I don't know about you, but I use a lot of energy at work. I mean, you know, I'm lecturing, I get mentally tired, and a lot of us, we're husbands and fathers. We have a lot of energy we devote to our children, to our wives. But how much mental energy do you put into your quiet times? Do you have quiet times, or do you really engage mentally? You're reading the scripture. You're reading this verse. How's this verse connected to other things? How might I use this? What's the meaning of, you know, what are some connections here? These kinds of things. Do you put in mental effort? We can't afford to be lazy intellectually. We need the desire to take it deeper. Hebrews 5, the Hebrew writer says, you know, by now you should be teachers. Some of you should be teachers, but probably if we put you up to be a teacher, it wouldn't work out so well. Because you just kind of sat and just absorbed. You didn't really think about it. And I'll tell you one thing, I spend a lot of time thinking about the scriptures. Don't just read them. Write outlines. You know, maybe what you could do is just take the book of Matthew, take a month, and just outline each chapter. Prepare a little lesson on each chapter and really go into it in depth. Use mental energy. We use our mental energy at work, but are you using your mental energy when you're studying the scriptures? always be prepared to give an answer. So I want to ask you kind of a rhetorical question. Are you loving God with all your mind? And what would that mean? What does it mean to you? But I believe if we do that, then we'll build up knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of His Scriptures, and just knowledge in general. You know, some people tell me that I am smart or whatever. Well, how are you so smart? I don't know. But one thing I know is I pay attention. That's one thing I've learned. I just pay attention. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 2, that's the advice. He says, if you want to make it to heaven, you need to pay attention. All right, and so I just ask questions. Why is this person doing that? What's going on here? And we learn from those things. We acquire knowledge. Another way I think we acquire knowledge is through having David's attitude in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, David says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." How much during the day does a scripture come up to your mind? How much time? By the way, if you don't memorize scripture, this is totally out for you. How much scripture do you memorize? I mean, I've got a pile at least this high of scriptures I've memorized. And so meditating on it. David was constantly thinking about it. When he's driving down the road, he wasn't thinking about, how bummer it is that the Chargers are going up to L.A. You know, he was thinking about the scriptures, meditating on their meaning, trying to understand how it would apply in the situation he was in. Psalm 119:72. David said, "The law for your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver." That's a lot of money. Thousands of pieces of gold and silver. That's a lot of money. And David could just say it boldly. He could say, "Oh, that's worth more than that." Psalm 119, verse 9, "For the young ones among us, how could a young person keep himself pure? By living according to the word." Number three, and this is in the knowledge thing, and then we'll get to the self-control thing, but I have to have enough self-control to finish in about probably 15 more minutes. All right? That was a joke. A joke. You're supposed to laugh. When I tell a joke, you're supposed to laugh. Having a sense of adventure. I don't know about you, but let's say you had Captain Crunch every morning for 26 years in a row. How would you feel about Captain Crunch? Very boring. Imagine waking up every morning for 33 years and it's the same woman next to you for the last 33 years. How would that make you feel? Well, you know, unless you do something about it, it would get kind of boring. All right, Guillermo's sharing his excitement. If you know, ask Guillermo to start talking about his wife and you won't be able to get a word in edgewise for a while. But that's because he's put work into it. You know, you can't do the same things. In our relationship with God, you got to do some different stuff. You need to, I'm excited when I study the Scripture. Every year I learn stuff that I didn't know before. And I'm figuring, I've been a Christian for almost 39 years. I'm kind of figuring, every year it seems like, how could I possibly gain more, like, in-depth knowledge in Scripture than I realized? Obviously, since it's happened 39 years in a row, it's going to keep happening. You know, we need to be open-minded. A lot of us, we just accept what people do. Somebody says it's true from in a sermon. Sounds good to me. No. You should question what you hear. You know, we do the whole, you know, Berean thing, you know, Acts 17 and all that, but then we don't practice it. If I tell you something, don't believe it just because I said it. All right? Question what we do as a fellowship. Why do we do it that way? That doesn't mean you're being rebellious. It just means you're thinking, you're engaging your mind. Don't assume what you were raised with spiritually is the best way to do it. Learn how to ask questions. Somebody asked me, is one-on-one discipling in the Bible? Well, what would be your answer to that question? Well, is that how the early church did discipling?
Sometimes.
That's certainly how Paul raised up leaders. in raising up leaders in the church and evangelists, one-on-one discipling seems to be the pattern. But, you know, in the first century, I think it was primarily through heads of households. So? But in 2017, is that going to work? I don't think so. I think one-on-one discipling is the ideal approach for us to put the one another passages into practice in our generation, in our situation. Amen. But, you know, the point is that we need to think about these things. Think about why we do what we do. The way I see it is, basically, we are part of a process of trying to make ourselves be the church that God wants us to be. And we need all brains engaged in that process. It's exciting. I really appreciate how Guillermo shared, you know, how we're part of the process. And I appreciate being challenged a little bit. Hey, can we get a little bit more input? That was a respectful question. And Guillermo's response is, to the extent we can, we will. That's what we're going to be able to do here. All right. So do you see yourself as part of this process of God helping us as a church move in the right direction? And if you're not engaging yourself, you won't be able to do that mentally. All right, great. Have a plan. In order to have a deeper knowledge of God, I say you need to have a short-term plan, a medium-term plan, and a long-term plan. Let me share you my long-term plan. My long-term plan is to know every single book in the Bible in depth. And I've been working on this plan for about 12 or 13 years, and I'm almost halfway through the Bible. So I figure sometime in the next 15 years, by about 15 years from now, I'll be able to go to any scripture in the Bible and just start from there and preach a sermon right from there. Okay? And I'm going to know it. But that's a long-term plan. All right? And that's a pretty intense plan. But you know what? It's pretty awesome. I figure by the time I'm 75, I pretty much have the Bible down, and then I'll start the next plan, or whatever that's going to be. But then you've got to have a medium-term plan. All right, so I've kind of, you know, planned, for example, this fall we're going to be studying Genesis, et cetera. In our Bible study, starting in a few weeks, I was talking with Killian just today, we're going to start an in-depth study in the book of 1 Corinthians. All right, and so you have to have a medium-term plan. Then you have to have a short-term plan, which is, what are you going to do tomorrow to know God more, to know the Scriptures more, and to gain knowledge? Having a plan. All right, and I could say more about that, but I shouldn't because I haven't even started talking about self-control. And I'm going to skip all this practical stuff, and I think I better get to talking about self-control because I only have probably 5 more minutes. And my clicker's working now. Self-control, all right. So, here's the picture. So I want you to think about this. When you think about knowledge, all right, it's that stuff you have to have sitting around. If something breaks in my house, if I need a washer, if I need a screw, a nail, or whatever, it's probably going to be there because I've been storing this stuff up for about 35 years. And when I die, they'll just throw it all away, I'm sure. But I don't care because I won't need it anymore. And to me, again, it says the goal here is so we would not be unproductive and ineffective. I want to be productive and effective. I mean, what good is it to just sort of get by? I'm afraid some of us are just kind of getting by in a Christian life. That's boring. It's not that my salvation is at stake. It's just that, I don't know, I want to do something for God. All right, so point number 2 is self-control. And for self-control, I've got this tool here. All right, now, to me, self-control... That's not the best example. I like this one here. It's like a torque wrench. All right? Now, if you got this little, I've got one of the ratchet wrenches. It's this little thing. And if you need to get some force, I mean, you're just going to break it off and it doesn't work very well. So, but if you need some torque, you need a long moment. Do you have any physics professors here? Any physics instructors? All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so to me, self-control is what gives power to those other traits. Without self-control, I can have all the talents in the world, and I accomplish nothing. Without self-control, you could be the genius of the world. You could be the best singer that was ever born. You could be the most amazing athlete, and you'll never amount to anything. So self-control doesn't get you to heaven. Well, in some ways it might, because self-control is governing sin. But to me, that's not what I want to focus in on. I want to focus in on self-control, because if I have self-control, my knowledge can be productive. My whatever skill it is. I see Daniel's ability to lead singing becomes effective. If he had no self-control, I mean, he was here on time ready to go, and I appreciate that. So I think of self-control as like a torque wrench. The more self-control, the more work you can do for God. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is a good one. It says, "For the Spirit that God gives us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So the Holy Spirit that He makes to live in us when we repent and are baptized means that we're because of that, we're more able to have self-control than the people around us. That's what the Bible says. How's that working out in your life? All right? The Holy Spirit is trying to get you to do this work, to reach out to this person, to pray, to do this thing. And do you have the self-control to put it into effect? Another way I'd like to think about self-control, it's like a gasoline ad. STP or something like that? I'm trying to use male analogies here, all right? So I'm going out of my way to use really, you know, male analogies here. You know, STP, you know, right? Yeah, it gives you more power in your engine. Right. All right. Carlos is getting it now. All right. Proverbs 16:32. Better is a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. So the warrior is the guy who's got all the weapons and all the training, but self-control, and it all comes to nothing. And then here's you, probably not quite in, you know, not quite as many weapons, maybe not quite as in shape physically, but you have self-control, and God's going to use you to do amazing things. That's Proverbs 16:32. How much talent is wasted by lack of self-control? Do you want to be used by God? Does it depend principally on your gifts? Not according to Proverbs. It depends on patience and self-control. Proverbs 25:28. I like this one. All right, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. If you have self-control, then Satan is going to come in there and wreak havoc in your life. How's your self-control going? For me, there's a few things that I do in order to build self-control. For one thing, I go running. Do I enjoy running? I hate running. Do I look forward to it? Never. I've been running for about 27 years, every week for 27 years. All right? And do I run when I'm sick? Yes, I run when I'm sick. Do I run when I have a sore ankle and a sore knee? Yes, I run when I have a sore ankle and a sore knee. Do I run when I'm overseas and the streets are dangerous? Yes. Like last week, apparently there was shooting going on in the streets and all that sort of stuff, and I'm out running. I probably shouldn't have been doing that. That was probably not. I didn't know it. I just found out later. Amen. But to me, it's about self-control. It's about self-control. And because of that self-control, I have more energy. Is it going to get me to heaven? No. No, but it's going to make me more useful. You know, in the last 33 years, I've taken exactly one sick day in 33 years. Okay? One sick day. Now, some of you, you've had illnesses where that wouldn't be a possibility. But I'm telling you, literally, unless I'm in the hospital, I'm at work. In fact, the one day I missed, it was because I was in the hospital. And I guess they didn't want to let me, you know, pull those things out for me to go to work. All right, self-control. People ask me, I'm using myself as an example just because I was home alone as the only one, and I'm sorry. I hopefully it's not boasting, I'm just sharing. But I'm telling you, self-control has massively made me more effective than I would have been otherwise. I'm just saying it. People ask me sometimes, you know, how do you do all that stuff? Do you write books? You're traveling over the world. You run a website. You're a professor. You lead a Bible group. You're shepherding the singles. You're running a Christian MS ministry. You're putting on annual conferences. Blah, blah, blah. How do you do all that stuff? I always give them the exact same answer. The answer is self-control. That's it. All right? It's self-control. In fact, you know what? I think when we rest, we should rest intensely. We need to rest, right? And when you sleep, you need to really sleep. And when you have fun, you need to really have fun. All right? But I believe with self-control, we do everything with intensity. And I believe that that makes our life have more value. So self-control is very important. You know, you could probably make it to heaven without self-control. I'm going to finish in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Hebrews 5 brings both of these together. Self-control is not fun. It doesn't appeal to your sense of pleasure. That's why so many people lack it. But you know what? Because of self-control, God's going to be able to use you to do things, and it's going to be very fulfilling. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, it says here, in fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I see both. I see, he's talking about growing up. Basically, if you want to make it to heaven, if you want to be effective in your faith, two things. You need to grow up. Number one, in your knowledge of God and the Scriptures. And number two, in your ability to distinguish good from evil. Self-control. Both of those things are key. And I don't know about you, but I want to be productive in my Christian walk. So, for example, how are you doing in your knowledge? For example, could you explain, because he goes right into Melchizedek, could you right now kind of write out a little paragraph explaining the whole thing with Melchizedek, how that relates to Abraham, and what's the deal with him, no descendants, you know, we don't know where he came from, where he's going. Could you do that? Well, if you've been a Christian for 20 years, you ought to be able to. Come on, what have you been doing in your quiet times? All right, Steve, you've been a Christian for how many years? I remember you were baptized right after we got here. All right, what's the theme of the book of Hosea?
Oh, that's about his wife.
I see. He's thinking. Kind of like Hosea with his wife, God with Israel, kind of like that. Yeah, it's about God's grace and his love for us. We need to grow in our knowledge. But also in this passage it says, we need to grow in our ability to distinguish good from evil. That's self-control. All right, so this was a practical lesson. Hopefully it was helpful. And is this last in the series or do we have one more coming up?
One more.
One more. Thank you, James, for putting this all together.
But yeah. I do know there was a special birthday this week.
Okay. All right.
Uh-oh.
Guillermo Dalme.